Hello and welcome to edition 162 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in sunny Norfolk, UK, brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online, where you can sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/NRF1. It's on my summer list to do, although we're now getting into summer, aren't we? So I should probably do it. On this podcast, we will discuss who the Catalunya weekend will be most important for. Will the real Lewis Hamilton turn up? And exactly how rogue should we expect Fernando Alonso to be? Joining me in the pod for tonight's F1 fun once again are Kyle Cumbers and Steve Rust. Kyle.
Hello.
And Steve.
Hello.
Look at that. We're such a well-oiled machine now. We're all good since the last podcast. Happy with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Steve's happy.
Yeah. I was just looking at David Hillier's cheesecake.
El queso grande, yeah. As we now got to call him, David Tillier. He was going to come in, and then he got sidetracked by a Guinness and ginger cheesecake.
I think it was Guinness ginger something else cheesecake. So,
and last time I saw it, it sounded a bit worrying that it was going to be a failure, but it is.
I think he saved it. At the moment seems to be the latest update. So,
I'm not happy about this because all I want now is to eat his cheesecake, and El queso grande needs to come and bring in some of our own El queso grande. Por favore, DT, you know what I'm saying. Before we get stuck in, we've got our Russia preview, our F1 Global Fan Survey, and our F1 Latest News podcasts. They are all available to listen on your podcast player of choice. I think you know the address by now, nrf1.uk/podsubscribe. And there you'll find your link, almost certainly, iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, whatever. And if it's not there, tell us. Email nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Round 5 of the 2017 Formula One calendar takes us to Spain, Espanyol, Catalunya, Barcelona. I think that's all the bits. Thank you. You're happy with that? Yeah, you're happy. That's good. Is this a bit ominous given what this track is, Steve? And at Russia, you know, what we had there. God, let us all forget it.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, Spain has not always been the best of races, but I think actually recent years it's actually been quite good. And let's face it, our last race is probably going to be amazing, even if it is average by their standards.
Yeah, I think with Russia, the problem wasn't the one overtake, which I think was between the Saibers at the back of the field. It was the fact that nobody even got close to overtaking. As far if you have a really close race and battling and there's no overtake, then it's still entertaining. But the fact that they seemed to get within 2 seconds and that was, well, it was game over, we can't get any closer. That was a bit of a worry, and that's probably the worries we had before the start of the season. But yes, the Spanish Grand Prix was obviously, it helped last year that Mercedes took each other out at the third or fourth corner. And obviously we had Max Verstappen win his first race in a Red Bull. So and also, I saw a stat today, there's been the last 10 winners all been different. So we may see a new winner of the Spanish Grand Prix.
That's interesting. We might get onto that in a bit. I mean, you mentioned that. Is there any hope we're going to have anything like last season's race? Because as Carl said, the Mercedes took each other out. Max Verstappen winning on his Red Bull debut. Remarkable set of circumstances. I think our podcast that reviewed Russia and previewed Spain last year was our most listened to podcast because it just went f***ing nuts, didn't it? We had Max Verstappen being promoted, Daniil Kvyat being relegated, all of the Mercedes talk and Sebastian Vettel swearing on his radio, "Oh, I'm out, crashed! Someone's hit me at the f***ing rear, turn to..." Oh, that's my Sebastian Vettel. We like that?
Yeah, it's pretty good as well.
Yeah, good. I mean, any hope we're going to have a race like that, Steve?
You never know. Never know. We can all remain positive.
That's the spirit. That is exactly the spirit. A little stat here then. I'll try and hide my notes at this point, which may tie into what you were saying, Kyle. Only two drivers have won the Spanish Grand Prix more than once. Only two current drivers have won the Spanish Grand Prix more than once. Who wants to have a dig first? Oh, go on, Steve.
I was then about to say Alonso, but just the other one's put... I'm thinking Vettel. It's got to be Alonso and Vettel, isn't it?
There's been 10 different winners in the last 10 years, so it rules out Vettel and Hamilton. So the only other person I can think of who's been around that long is Mr. Raikkonen.
Well done, gents, by the power of deduction. Kimi Raikkonen in 2005 and 2008, which have both been with Ferrari, I would assume, off the top of my head.
Five would have been McLaren, wouldn't it?
Yes, of course, yeah. And then Fernando Alonso in 2006 and 2013. There we go, 2 times winner. I'm sure we'll get onto Fernando Alonso later, but what are those Spanish fans going to make of Fernando's race. I mean, where are they even going to start?
I mean, it can't help ticket sales. No. So that was probably a bit of an issue. They'll probably be cheering on Carlos Sainz, I assume, for this weekend.
Which is all right, obviously, yeah. But, you know.
And hopefully, you know, Toro Rosso might have a good race. And obviously, he's the future of Spanish Formula 1, so if he gets a good points finish, they'll probably be happy. But, I mean, Alonso just... And if he finishes the race, will that be? They'll probably be cheering in the grandstands if he finishes the race. And it was also be interesting to see what Fernando Alonso's mood is like, because will he be so distracted by IndyCar? Because I can't imagine he's too excited about this weekend, and he'll probably keep telling us how brilliant he is, and that's the best qualifying lap he's ever done. And I assume last weekend that was the best warm-up lap he's ever done.
Definitely the best oval, the best oval test he's ever done, yes, definitely.
So he'll be selling himself as he's done all season. Yeah, I mean... But yeah, Carlos Sainz is the hope for the locals.
What's going to be different, do you think, this weekend, Steve, maybe to what we've had over the current round so far?
More racing. I think there will be more racing.
Yeah, look at this positivity, Steve. I love it.
Yeah, no, I just... No particular reason, but, you know, sometimes when you just sort of get a feeling about something, that's mine.
And not only that, as we were touching on before we went on air, so to speak, this is the big upgrade, isn't it? This is the start of the European season. These teams, and obviously all of them will be hoping for a major advantage, but they are all going to be bringing some serious updates, upgrades, and in some cases, new cars.
Well, there's a sort of a bigger scope for that this year because we're so early into a set of new regulations. So you could sort of be, well, by the looks of it, we are going to be seeing maybe one or two completely new cars, but certainly maybe even some of the bigger teams might be like almost an interim sort of car, really. With big upgrades, what we assume is going to be happening. We haven't actually heard a great deal, to be honest. So,
I was going to say, is there anything you've heard that makes you excited? Is there one that you think, I'm looking forward to see what they've done.
Well, I'd like to, but they just don't seem to be very vocal on upgrades anymore. If you remember sort of 5-6 years ago, I mean, that was all that would be flooded over the sport pages, you know, that we're going to be bringing this, we're going to be bringing that, and you just don't hear anything, not now.
Putting down the shutters, aren't they, I guess?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the new rules are so much room for development that every team is obviously going to come with a big package that could Mercedes or Ferrari go the wrong way and drop back in, and maybe Red Bull jump up with their rumoured to be completely new car.
RB14 almost.
Yeah, the RB14. So, yeah, I think it's a big weekend for everybody, really, because they'll all be hoping their upgrades work. Because if they don't, then... The last few months have been wasted.
Well, that's it, and it's almost the proper testing pot, isn't it? And we probably should ask this now then, the most important weekend for in that instance. I mean, who do you want to see really shine and improve?
I think we'd all like Red Bull to be towards the front. I think unfortunately the Renault engine upgrade has been postponed for a while, so that won't help. But Barcelona is mainly an aerodynamic track, and that's done. They won the race last year, so hopefully they can produce some speed, because the last few races have been a long way behind Ferrari. And
going backwards in a way,
it's looked like it's going backwards, which not much has been really made, but it's like qualifying, they're 1.5 seconds off. That's a huge amount for Red Bull. And especially the end of last year, they were sort of saying, we're looking forward to next year, and it's been a bit of a disaster the first four races.
And we found ourselves talking about a car that hasn't got great downforce, and this is an Adrian Newey car. They never have poor downforce. It's just literally an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. What do we think is going to be the same this weekend? What's going to be the same?
Yeah, well, it's got to be us.
Yeah,
it's funny really, because we're making such a big joke of this, but it's just become the norm. You could almost just sort of forget that they're actually the second most successful team in Formula One, although that's another a whole new other story. But yeah, I mean, I don't really expect anything different. It's just almost hopeless, really.
It's going to be the Honda woes. I think they're going to be the same this weekend. I think the other cars interesting to see will be the Force India, because last year they came out with a different nose, and it'll be interesting to see if they do anything different this year. So
depends if they spend all their time trying to sell the team, I suppose. We'll have to see, won't we? This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen.
They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like. And if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we?
We should just touch on Mercedes as well, because off the back of what happened in Russia, this is going to be quite interesting, isn't it? Valtteri Bottas, as I said, I think in our review podcast, I was looking at people predicting Valtteri Bottas to win a Grand Prix and going, well, yeah, that won't happen. Because in my head, I'd kind of just had him demoted to a number two driver at Mercedes and off the quality that Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel would be producing this season. Yet, he's not. You know, the last two qualifying, he's been superb. The race performance, you know, he was third on the grid. The race performance in Russia in Sochi, fantastic. If Lewis doesn't turn up again, which is effectively what happened, be it in terms of the car he's driving or in terms of him just having that 0.01% margin that you need in your head, and Valtteri wins or beats Lewis again, fascinating dynamic at Mercedes that would mean.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have you'd have the makings of a three-way sort of championship battle between Vettel himself and then Hamilton, which, you know, would be great. You know, I mean, how that would develop over the season if it does get very close between the two of them, maybe less so Vettel, whether we would see a different sort of story untailed to what we've been used to when Rosberg was there. But I don't know. But I mean, this, you know, Bottas was a driver who was once talked about being a sort of a hot prospect for Ferrari. You know, so we know he's got it. You know, there was no doubt in my mind that he would eventually, when he gets up to speed, would be challenging Hamilton. Probably just the only thing that's taken me a bit by surprise has been this quick. I thought it would be maybe more towards the middle, to sort of just past that section of the season. But, you know, all credit to him.
It's a double-edged sword, really, isn't it? Because I can't help thinking if you have a three-way title fight, just completely plays into Ferrari's hands, because they know they can focus everything. And in terms of Valtteri, as you said, we know he's had it in him, but it's been the consistency, hasn't it? Which again, I guess, brings it back to this weekend, because if he, you know, ties together three decent qualifying and two races, that is the hallmarks of becoming consistent.
Yeah, and I sort of, it's the perfect timing, Russia, because then we were talking about a two-way race between Mercedes and Ferrari. Also, I was always slightly, from Bottas's point of view, worried, because I was sort of comparing him to Rosberg. Rosberg was always settled into Mercedes, so people would back him, and Hamilton came into that team, where Bottas was coming into competing against a very strong driver and a team that has known Hamilton for 4 years. So there, a lot of the team would be based behind Hamilton, and he was perceived to be the stronger driver. So I was worried that Bottas would settle into quite quickly into being number two. But if he keeps performing like this, then the team is going to look at him thinking, well, he can win a world championship. And so we can't just go full support behind Hamilton. And the team will then start responding to him in ways the car has developed. And we've talked about development of the car is going to be huge this year with the new regulations, that they're going to listen to more of his input, for example.
Whets the appetite, doesn't it? Yeah. Whets the appetite ahead of this weekend and hopefully the rounds to come. I think we'll do that for our Spanish Grand Prix preview. The plugs, of course, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. At the NRF1 is the handle, or the Facebook address is fb.me/thenrf1. We have lots of chances for you to interact with us. Blogs, betting tips, Kyle?
Yeah, I hope to
improve.
I've had a bit of a journey in Palmer start to the season.
Yeah. Stop driving into the walls, Carl. But you'll be able to find all those at nrf1.uk and, of course, on our social feeds. You can follow all those. You can get in touch at nrf1podcast@gmail.com. On its way next is our Prediction League update, although I haven't actually done an update, but we'll definitely have our predictions ahead of the racing in Barcelona. And if you want to get involved in those predictions and in the season's Prediction League, it's never too late, by the way. Playing catch-up is dead easy. You just need to get your predictions in on our Twitter or Facebook pages, or you can email us, and they have to be in before the start of FP1 each race weekend. We'll take care of the rest. If you get a few minutes, check out our YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. There's a good few videos there. But for now, thank you, Steve.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you, Kyle.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The prediction fun will be with you soon. Until then, goodbye.